hardly noticed there was any snow on the ground. The snow is, you know, all gone for the most part until that came. But it was up there in the 60s Monday, and that made the snow disappear. I got home, it was all gone. And then I woke up again this morning, there was snow, and now it's probably got to been another windy day. It's been real windy here lately. Yeah, real windy. You know, the steering wheel coming up the interstate, it gets cocked over probably about, I wouldn't say a 20, 45 from level, but probably a good 20 to 30 degree angle to counteract the wind. That's pretty steep angle the steering wheel has to be held at. And so yeah, that's what we've been dealing with. So yeah, like I said, I stayed home. I had Monday when it was nice out. It did calm down before the winds came up again, calmed down that evening. So I had 65 gallons of maple sap I've collected out of the trees in a buddy's yard here in town. I started boiling. And I boiled it down to, probably about 10 gallons. I was up till about 1 in the morning doing that. And so it took me 6-7 hours outside, fire roaring away, you know. 6-7 hours boiling, got it down to about 10 gallons, and the fire died, and I said, nah, and the wind came up, and the rain started coming, and I said, that's enough of that, and I put it all away. And then I finished it off today in the garage over a turkey fryer. And nice controllable heat there, you know. And I ended up with a pretty good amount of syrup. Just shy of 3 gallons, so about 11 quarts. I figure I ended up with there this evening. Nice gold and stuff. Boy, it looks good. This is the second time I boiled off. The other time I got about 2 quarts and a pint. That was out of 20-some gallons. So, really a good ratio, you know. 65 just shy of 3 gallons. And usually they say the average you can expect is about 40 to 1 gallon. So, my average is more like 23. I don't know. It almost seems unbelievable, but a buddy of mine down the road, he said he got 33.5 to 1. Well, I've got 23. It's like, I think it must be because it's been so dry around here that whatever does come out of the ground and his sap is just, it's almost, it's just super concentrated there, Gary. Over.
Well, you know, Steve, I've never done that. But I knew there was a lot of water in that maple runoff, you know, when you are gathering the maple sap. I knew there was a lot of water in it, but I didn't realize that it was that much. I tell you, that's a lot of water. And that's a lot of work to get, you know, take 25 gallons and boil it down and come up with that little bit. I tell you, that's a lot of work. But, you know, if you like maple syrup, I guess it's all worth it. You know, I enjoy working out in my little old garden, and it's a lot of work, but I sure do enjoy the vegetables that come out of it. But I would like to try to do that one day. Don't have any maple trees around here that, like those, I don't guess. I'm sure there are some, but I don't know if there are any that's close. But I'd hate to get a gallon bucket and only get you know, 2 or 3 ounces of syrup out of it when I got through with it.
Yeah, well, I had 65, not 25, 65 gallons of sap there. And there's been a lot of people around here who've been sapping. I haven't seen as many. There's a neighbor just down the street. He's got four buckets on his two trees, 4 or 5 gallon buckets. I'm doing the four trees at my buddy's place just a few blocks away. These are big trees. I mean, don't want to tap nothing that's probably about 10 inches or less. You put one tap in something like that. But I put four taps in these big boys. They're just, you know, they're 3-4 feet across. So they can handle it. You're not going to drain them dry. So I had 15 taps on four trees. And, well, I came home the other day. And when was it? I collected the syrup, or I collected 20 gallons of sap in one day out of the four buckets. And I know one of the buckets had been overflowing for a while. Ground was pretty soggy underneath. Now, you can taste it coming out of the tree there. It's sweet right out of the tree. You can definitely taste that. It looks like water, but it's sweet. And you just evaporate all the water, you know. So I don't think you got the right temps down there. You need that temps just to be perfect. You got to have it down below freezing so the, you know, the tree somehow knows, of course, that it's getting too cold. So they don't want water in the tree. So it kicks down in the evening, and then you got to have it come up in about 40s during the day. So it needs to bounce up and down above and below freezing, and that's what you need. And we haven't really had that. It's been too warm or too cold, and you know, I've got enough, I guess, for myself. But this isn't really, we haven't had no snow cover to regulate the temperatures downward at night at times, you know. So it's been kind of a yo-yo year. But nevertheless, I've seen a lot of people, other towns, and heard there's people tapping all over. I don't know if it's the latest rage around here or what. I guess people drive around and they see, what is that? And they get the idea and they go do it themselves, you know. But, yeah, I got a cousin up there in Michigan. This is kind of a funny one. Let me let it break. I know I don't need to, but I'll do it anyway. You know, I used to get into maple sugaring. Sugaring, that's a proper term. You can see syruping or sapping, but sugaring, that's probably just covers it all. So I was living in New Hampshire as a young teenager. And with my family, of course, and I got into it over there. My dad bought me a little setup, and I tapped the trees over there around our yard. And, I think I did it once when I lived up in Michigan after that, and I haven't really done it since. And till last year, I decided to give it a whirl here. Didn't think you could do it around here. Well, I was wrong. You don't need the perfect maple tree. There's about four different types of maples. So I'm doing these silver maples, you know. They say their sugar content ain't as good as the sugar maple or the hard maple. But I've proved them wrong this year, that's for sure. But anyhow, I pounded in my 11 taps I had last year. And there was one tree, that thing was kicking out so much I had to have, I couldn't get home from time and work. I had to have a cascade system. First, it'd fill up 1 5-gallon bucket and then run through a little tube into another 5-gallon bucket. And I'd come home and that second 5-gallon bucket would be just about full of 10 gallons in a day. I'd probably put in another 5 gallons later on that night, you know. But the other trees weren't quite up to that. But that one was. It was a producer. Well, anyhow, I got all fired up. I called my cousin up in Michigan. And he does it, I know, regularly. And I'm like, Ben, this is awesome, man. I just got back into the sugar, and it's just running. I got it going on, you know. I'm crawling, and he says, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. You bet. I just love it. And he's all rooting for me, right? So I get all done crawling on myself. And I say, so how's it been going for you? He's like, well, first it was too cold, then it was too hot. But we boiled off one batch. I said, how much did you boil? You know, I had done like, you know, the same amount as I did this year or something. He's like, 1,500 gallons. I'm like, oh. He said, well, that was RO'd. That was RO'd from 7,800 gallons. I'm like, how many taps you got out? He's like, about 7,600 taps. I'm like, oh. Yeah, you just had 200 gallons, and he considered it just kind of just getting going, not really doing so well. It kind of made me laugh.
Oh, my goodness. I would hate to have to collect all of that. That would take a lot of time. But I guess they're set up for it and that sort of thing. But goodness gracious. One other question I've got about that. You keep saying you boil the water off. How often do you have to stir that, or do you have to keep it stirred kind of constantly to keep the syrup from scorching while you're boiling the water off?
Well, you don't have to stir it at all. The boiling action keeps it stirred. You don't have to stir it. It's so watery, you know, you're trying to get rid of that water that there's no scorching going on unless you got it so high. It's only near the end, you know. Only near the end you got to start really watching it, because the temperature and the concentration rate goes up pretty quick as the amount of water goes down, you know. So you'll sit there at boiling temp, 212, actually 210 around here is what water boils at, because we're higher in elevation. And atmospheric pressures and everything factor into that boiling temp. But it's about 7 degrees above boiling, water boiling point, that it turns to syrup. Now, you can go a degree or two more and make it good and thick, but make sure there is no water. But you keep going, but it goes, you know, the last 3 or 4 degrees, it really, really speeds up, and because there's less and less water, so it really climbs in temp quick. And you keep going, that thing will get gooey and caramely, and it'll... I doing that one time out east. I was stirring and stirring and stirring, and I'm like, well, it's getting there. Let's see. And this is just, you know, I'm like, wow, getting kind of thick here. What? And boom, the whole works turned to sugar on me, you know. I'm like, well, I guess I can eat sugar, too.
Finesse it, I guess. But you've taught me a lot about tapping trees, and not necessarily the tapping of the tree, but the boiling of the sap and that sort of stuff to get the syrup. But that's pretty amazing, Steve. I'll have to try that one of these days.
Yeah, it's possible. You got a tree near you, if you can drill into it about the time you see buds and the temperature starts getting near that freezing point. I know you're always near that, so I don't know what point it would. But anyhow, when you start seeing buds and stuff starts happening, you drill a little hole in there and see if you can't taste some sweet liquid coming out, if there is any. Here, you drill a hole and it's just, I mean, you pull the drill out and 2 seconds later, it's coming, the water's coming out, the sap's coming out. And you'll know it's running, you know. But, yeah, you talk about my cousin, you would hate to collect all that. Oh, he's got it easy. The majority of his taps are all lines. They ain't buckets like me. He's got them all lined, and then to go to bigger lines, and it's all gravity-fed. And in fact, he's got a vacuum pump to suck this stuff out over hills and such he might have in his line, you know. And then it pumps it up into his, I suppose, probably his many thousand-gallon tank. And he's got a whole building and a stainless steel evaporator, and he got his RO system. That's a new thing I've found out. They run it through an RO. And, you know, usually when you run water through an RO, you're getting rid of the waste products and you're keeping the water. Well, here it's the other way. You're keeping the waste and getting rid of water. And the waste being the syrup. So you can cut it down to about 50 to 75% of the water out. So that cuts down on a lot of boiling of the rest of it. You know, it's more concentrated. So, yeah, he sells it in stores and everything. It's a good part of his income for the year. He used to be a inspector on a manufacturing line, had a good secure job. He said, I just didn't like it. I looked outside. I'm like, I just want to be outside. So he went to work out in his woods, his 60 acres worth of trees, and started tapping them. And he's doing good. He's raised his family and provided for them, so that's what counts, you know.
Mr. Steve, Clear Lake, South Dakota. Well, Steve, it is 65 degrees here still tonight at 24 minutes after 10. And so it's been kind of warm today, but it was a little cooler yesterday because it was raining most of the day. I don't know I'm sure that if you went out and tapped the trees with the sap starting to rise with the, you know, the trees blooming out, budding out the way they are down here now, you might get some. I'll have to find me a maple tree around here close and sneak down in my neighbor's yard and drill a hole in it.
Yeah, I wonder what you'd say these here. I just drilled holes in your tree here. I think you're sapping. It would be I would guess probably about late January for you is when it would start to run. Just after the usual cold snap you get in January there, that's probably when I'd start looking for it down there. And people always wonder, you know. It's kind of new to folks that I've talked to around here. I tapped the fella's trees last year. He's like, oh, does that hurt the tree? Don't you feel those holes you're making a tree with something after you get done? No, you don't fill them up. He's healed up, you know. And you can look at them, they're all healed up by the end of the summer. Yeah, think about it. People who've been tapping trees out there in New Hampshire and Vermont, you know, where it's always been a big thing. In fact, there's one company called Bascom's, and they provide maple syruping, maple sugaring equipment to, well, they sell it all over, you know. So they sugar themselves. They're not just a supply company. And they're right up there with the big boys. They got 100,000 taps out. 100,000 taps. And they start drilling holes. And, you know, it starts running about in March. They start drilling holes in January and pounding taps in the trees. That's how long it takes them to put all those taps in. Over.
That's a lot of trees and a lot of taps. Of course, it's not that strenuous of work until you start hooking the piping up or the buckets or whatnot. But that's still a lot of work on the outside. I enjoy my outside work, but I don't know that I'd want to do that. I might do it just for giggles to be able to say I'd done it at least once. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, I would do it. I'd like to see if you could find something down there. You're not in the prime spot, but hey, I mean, there's those trees. You got a maple tree down there. It's gotta have a sap going through it at some point or other, you know. But yeah, 100,000 taps. That's a lot of taps to be drilled. Now, they just leave the taps dangling. They'll pull the taps out, you know. They leave all the lines up and everything going through the woods. You walk through those woods at night, it'd be like going through a spider web, you know. And, yeah, they just leave the taps dangling there. I'm thinking, you can't string up that much lines every year after year. But, you know, I mean, it pays off. What are the wholesale price for a gallon of maple syrup? $60. You know, and then probably not everybody's selling, you know, wanting a whole gallon. So they divvy it down to little smaller pieces or quantities and sell it for more than that per gallon, you know. So it is profitable. You start getting up there, you know, it ain't too long and you can be buying some pretty nice equipment to boil stuff off. And I went up to Minnesota here recently, last weekend. Checked out this sapping operation, a little bigger than mine, quite a bit actually. Still, it was a hobby thing for these guys who did it. Three or four of them got together and put up a shed this spring. You gotta remember, there's still snow up there, but anyhow, they still put it up. Nice 40 by 30 sugar shack, all rough sawn lumber. Looked really nice, concrete floor. Must have had that poured beforehand, I don't know. They had a nice stainless steel evaporator there, RO system, and they were sitting on 900 gallons and just waiting. That thing would boil off 40 gallons of sap an hour. And that wasn't like the biggest system I know, but it was big enough for them to have fun with, you know. And the way that thing works, it's got meters, and at the very end, when it gets the right temperature, figuring it for temperature and atmospheric pressure, a little spout opens and it drains down straight syrup right out of the machine. So, pretty convenient. So that was interesting seeing that thing.
Well, I guess if you got enough time and ingenuity, you can mass produce about anything, you know. That's a pretty good assembly line, though, Steve, when you do that, and that many trees and that much liquid. That's a lot of liquid coming out of those trees. It really is. And get 40 gallons an hour of syrup, that's a pretty profitable hobby.
Yeah, well, it's just crazy how much syrup or sap is zipping up and down the trees. But let's say they were probably running, if they're running like down here, it's you know, but even if they run 40 gallons of sap, they're evaporating worth an hour. And I know they said they RO'd it down to about 50%, so they'd be getting 2 gallons of syrup an hour. So, you know, it's like I said, if you can sell it for $60 a gallon, they're looking at 120. They have 900 gallons of sap to do, so 450 gallons worth RO down, so about 10 hours, you know, and they could be looking at about 20 gallons of syrup they could make in a day. Yeah, it's not bad profit when 20 times, you know, 60, so $1,200, and that's just a small operation compared to, well, the big boys, you know, they didn't have that many. I mean, yeah, $1,200 a day. It's not going to be every day, but when you're running, it's good dough.
Again, it's not every day, but that's some good good pocket change, no doubt, for a hobby to produce. You know, some hobbies don't produce anything. All they do is take money out of your pocket.
Yeah, kind of like the one we're using now. We do have fun. And we get to share it. The only way you can share that kind of deal is if you go, like a lot of other things, you go there or participate some other way, you know. But yeah, I mean, so you get $1,200 in one day. Well, I don't know how much an evaporator costs, but, you know, maybe it's double that, so 2 days worth, and you got your machine paid for. The rest is all gravy. And anyhow, I've been holding it up long enough. I got my sauna up to temp here. I'm going to go hop in there and get washed up and unthawed.
Make a plan, Steve. I wouldn't mind having a sauna down here myself. We'll get me one in one of these days. I don't know that I will, but it would be nice to have. But appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit, coming in and giving us some information about tapping maple trees and making maple syrup and that sort of thing. I hope you and Miss Megan and the children have a wonderful evening, what's left of it up there, and a great day tomorrow and a beautiful weekend coming up. And hug and kiss on the children and tell Miss Megan we said hello. And we'll talk at you a little bit later, Steve. Enjoyed it. You take care there, buddy. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
Whiskey 4, Hotel India, W4HI, Bruce, Seneca.
Yeah, one more thing, Gary, KB0KJ.
Yeah, let me recognize Mr. Bruce, and I'll be right back to you, Steve. I would like to say good evening to W4HI, Mr. Bruce, down there in Seneca. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Bruce. Hope you're doing well. Go ahead, Steve.
I'll send you a picture of my syrup here I made this evening, and also My wife's expecting any day, maybe like this week, probably like next week. Number five, so just to let you in on the loop there. Over.
Well, Steve, congratulations a few days early. But when she delivers, shoot us a picture of the baby. We always love to get pictures of your family, and you've got such a beautiful family anyway. I can't wait to see the next edition. But y'all take care, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Talk KI4DOS. One for comments. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. About wrap it up tonight. Run out of rag chewers and run out of check-ins, so I'll file my net report, and then we'll close the net out. There you have it, folks. Had a grand total of 69 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in radio land. Y'all are the ones that make the net. If y'all didn't call into the net controllers and check in each night, we wouldn't have a net. So y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling to give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We're going to thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.